With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of Marit Makes a Movie. Where have you been, you bald slaphead? All right, mate. Listen, there's been a lot of problems with the weather and people have been difficult to get hold of. So I've had to cancel a couple of conversations and, you know, I've got other stuff to do, you know, in my life. So what's happening with the movie then, Marek? Well, currently the budget is £400. I've actually spent roughly £49 of it on stamps and badges for fans. And I bought a programme for £15 called Mac Loops, which was a music programme. Well, it's basically an archive of loads of loops to make your own music. And let me tell you, listeners, it is a load of shit. Most of the sounds were sounding like someone made them by pissing in a bin. But I did have used them to make the new theme tune and end bits. And that's about all I've got out of it. So I've wasted your money. What's happening with this film then? Well, I had to change the idea from my original film to an idea which is going to be more of a sort of vlog, sort of murder story. That's the plan. And I'm going to wait until hopefully I've got a bit more of a budget. I've got some work coming up from March and April, normal work, which I'll be getting along with. And then late summer, I hope to start the film or start practicing the film. In the meantime, I will be filming some other shorts for my YouTube channel in another project, which I will tell you about when that's ready. But that's where I am at the moment. So, yeah, I'm still doing it, right? So stop hassling me. Anyway, who wants to hear me talking? Not many people, because it just sounds awful. So let's go on with it. This week, I went to meet my old friend, James Branch, and we talked about editing, which, of course, is almost as important as directing and all that business. Anyway, he had lots of good things to say, and at the end of the podcast, I will pass on some of the tips that he had for good websites. So let's get to it. It's Marit Makes a Movie. What's it about? I'll tell you. Talking to filmmakers about stuff. Editing. Camera work. Directing. Acting. All sorts. Mainly bullshit. Oh, where am I now? I am round my good friend James Branch's house. James Branch is a human being, firstly. A father, secondly, or for, yeah.
Yeah.
And then an editor. Would you say that's a fair...
That's uncannily accurate, yeah. I used to be a human being, but now I just look after children and edit when I have time, so I can buy food for them.
But you used to... So we met doing stand-up comedy.
Yes.
And you used to work editing film trailers.
That's right, yeah. I was at a place that was like an advertising agency, but it was just for film marketing. So we did. I edited trailers. I started off post-producing trailers, and then I got into editing trailers. And but the same company, we did the posters and the cardboard standees and radio ads and, you know, ads in the press, all that kind of stuff. So it was all packaged for marketing films.
I'd love to be the man who cut out the cardboard things. Was there a man in a room with scissors cutting out the...
I guess so, yeah. I think the cardboard thing is very sophisticated. It's a big market. I think the guys who used to work there went off and created their own company for making cardboard standees. Yeah.
You wouldn't think
it's a very sophisticated market, cardboard.
I mean, that's a whole new...
That's a whole other podcast. When you're down the line, you've made your movie, then you need to make your Marek standee. I can put you in touch with those guys.
You can make your
cardboard.
So now you're doing freelance work.
Yes.
Basically, you spent most of your life in a room.
Yeah, in a small room. Yeah, I worked for that company for nearly 20 years, and I was in a basement in Soho in a windowless room for the best part of 2 decades.
Now you've got a window.
Now I've got a window. Yeah.
So we're around
looking up.
We're around James's house, And I was going to ask a few questions about editing things. Now, these days, I mean, by the time this comes out, it'll be 8K. Everyone yep. bangs on about you need to shoot your film in 4K.
Mm-hmm.
And even Netflix, I think they insist you deliver it in 4K.
Yeah, I think, yeah, they want you to deliver it in 4K. I think so, yeah, I'm not quite sure. But I think there's no... Yeah, I think if you've got an ambition to put it on something like Netflix in the future, I think people have to do it in 4K. It's not necessary. Well, it's like a delivery requirement, but there's also an artistic choice as well. So I don't know whether how important it is, but I think it's just the way it's going, I think. But I think 4K, anything above 4K, then the human eye really starts to... You don't gain anything visually, really.
Is it 8K is it supposed to be?
Something like, I don't know. It's crazy. But I think what people do, I mean, for... David Fincher, he shoots things 5 or 6K. And so then when they make stabilization of an image, they've still got enough area around the borders to maintain a purely 4K image.
Yeah.
So that's what he does. And the other thing people do is if they're shooting an interview, they'll shoot it wide and then they can zoom in. So if they want to deliver a 2K or an HD master, they've still got the latitude to zoom into a close-up. So they've got they're basically shooting their wide shot of an interview and their close up in the same shot.
Yeah.
So that's the other consideration that people do.
Because Alexa's the camera that everyone uses for films, and they've just announced that they're finally going to do a 4K thing. But
all right.
Everyone just uses, most of the films you see are shot in the cinema, are shot on Red or Alexa, and more Alexa stuff. And that's not 4K, so I don't really.
Yeah, or still on film. I mean, they do, you know, all the Star Warses were done on film, and Christopher Nolan shoots on film, Spielberg still shoots on film. But I don't know. By the time they've gone into, you know, special effects, that the relationship with film ends.
You're saying I should shoot on film then?
No. Maybe Super 8. Do a Super 8 one. That'd be awesome.
So when you're uploading, I'm just talking about this footage first of all. When you're uploading this 4K stuff, because computers can't handle the amount of data it is, you create proxy files, which are just, and that means basically just a sort of low res version.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. You work with a file that's not as taxing on the computer, so you can edit. You know, especially if you're using multi cameras, and it will really bog down your. So I've worked on a 4K low budget feature, which they shot it completely 4K on Red cameras, and so I had to make proxy files from that. So what you do is a proxy file makes a quarter of the resolution of the original file. So I had 4K images, so I ended up. So the proxy files are actually just HD, 1920 by 1080. So that's what you're using. And on Final Cut Pro 10, which is what I use, there's just a setting where you're looking at the original footage, or you look at the proxy footage, and it just clicks from one to the other, and that's it. And you just have to remember at the end. So you bring the stuff in, you make proxies, you work with it throughout, and then only at the last minute when you want to do your final export, you flick it back to original, and you're working on your 4K masters.
And when you get, you spend a lot of time editing stuff, and you've done sort of films as well.
Yeah.
When you get all the footage in, is there any sort of common mistakes or things you think they didn't get enough coverage, or they wish they'd done that? Anything you could say to a director as that would help your job or help you? What helps you in the edit? So, what's your perfect sort of package of stuff? Too much footage, or?
Yeah, well, it's different. David Fincher will shoot, 90 takes of a scene, whereas Christopher Nolan will shoot, he'll do 90 takes of a shot, and Christopher Nolan will do 2 or 3 or 4 takes. Everyone's different, really. I think it's just a question of communication. You know, I think that's one of the bugbears that a lot of editors complain about now, is you're just having to deal with so much footage. Film is such an expensive medium to capture, especially when you're making a low budget a film. You wouldn't get so much footage. So I remember when I made my student film, we were like, right, we've got to be really careful what we film, because this is costing, every second is costing money.
Yeah.
Whereas now with digital, it's all just, you know, SD cards and whatever, and you know, buy some more hard drives. So you're swamped with footage. So I think the main thing is communication. You've got to communicate with your either script supervisor or with your just report sheet, saying, "Well, I've shot 20 takes of this, but just use the last two. You haven't got time to watch all of it, so just watch the last two, and then once you get down into the nitty gritty of fine tuning and edit, then you might have to go back to the earlier takes to find something that will help you solve a problem."
Do you still enjoy editing stuff?
I do enjoy it. The main reason it's because I've been doing it for so long, but you still learn something every day. On every job, there's some other way. Either you have to learn something from a technical perspective or a problem-solving perspective, and that's what makes it interesting, is because it's essentially it's very simple. I mean, it hasn't really changed very much. You choose a bit of picture, you put it next to another bit, you choose a bit of sound. That hasn't changed. You can do that on iMovie or on your phone or on the most expensive computer you can buy with the best footage. So no matter who you are as a filmmaker, you're still facing exactly the same problems that Steven Spielberg does and Christopher Nolan does and whoever does. That's what makes it fascinating. It's because there's always a different way to do something.
Does it make you want to go and shoot things yourself?
No, I don't know. I did directing. I did a little bit. I think I'm more of a sort of stay in a room and work on stuff. I'm not really sort of a too much of a social animal. I think you have to be really sort of much more of an entrepreneur than I am, much more of a sort of a people person than perhaps I am. I don't really sure I've got the skills for it in that
term. I really enjoy when I make things. I don't, some people say they really enjoy the shooting of it.
Yeah.
I'm not you, I think. I like being in the edit.
Mm-hmm.
So even when I've made vlogs and things like that, sometimes I've really hated those bits and having to talk out loud in front.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it's when you get back.
Mm-hmm.
Although I do find myself swearing at myself saying I didn't get it, or just not holding a shot for long enough, thinking it's, you know, 5 seconds is long enough for a GV shot or something.
Mm-hmm.
When you've edited on, people might think, "Oh, what do I edit on?" You said you can edit on iMovie.
Yeah.
You use Final Cut.
Your choice. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Rather than Premiere and Avid are the other ones as well. But
yeah, well, Premiere and Avid and Final Cut Pro 7 used to just replicate the way you would edit film. You'd have tracks, you'd have your film track, and you'd have a succession of audio tracks. And that's the way, and that's basically, they're just trying to, and then you, they still use references like bins, and a bin was something that you hung strips of film on, and the film would go down into the bin, and you'd pull the film out of the bin, and you and bring put that into your edit, either on a PicSync or a Steenbeck or a Moviola or whatever. And you, they still use references to keyframes and stuff. Whereas Final Cut Pro 10 is far more anchored towards the way we way things are shot now digitally and working on a database, and it's all much trackless, and you just can work. It just makes it much more fast and fluid to edit, rather than having to worry about where you're putting picture and where you're putting sound at any given time.
And how long? Well, I talk about films in general. So you edited an entire feature film?
No, I didn't. This one, I just what happened was it had been edited, and they wanted a promo reel, so I edited the promo reel, and then their relationship with the editor sort of came to an end. He wasn't working on it anymore, so they asked me to look at the film overall to give it a sort of a polish. So I made some edits, and I mainly sort of did some music sequences and added new music, and so I sort of gave the film a pass, and then I oversaw sort of the post-production. So I had to take it out of an Avid and, using Final Cut Pro 10 and Resolve, which is a free system, I got it into Final Cut Pro 10, then I took over sort of the post-production of it, and I did some additional editing on it as well.
So when I make this film,
mm-hmm.
I do the what I've learned is when you have to deliver something, it's a lot more complicated than just uploading it to YouTube. You need to fit a certain amount of criteria for the film to be screened in the cinema. So you said a DCP is what...
Yeah, basically, because I had to learn how to do it myself, because they finished the film, and then we locked the cut, and then they got a deal with the post production house to finish the film off, to mix it, and to grade it as well, and then they wanted to, and then basically at the end of the film, what you see at a cinema is what's called a digital cinema package, and all it is a video file, an audio file in a folder, and it gets projected onto a screen. And the production company, the post-production house, wanted £3,500 to do this. And they just didn't have the money. This is an ultra-low-budget film.
Mm.
And it was like, well, these guys are first... She's a first-time writer, producer, director. It's a really good first-time film. You know, they should have done her a favour. So I went on the internet and I found a free piece of software called OpenDCP. And I figured out how to do it myself. You just make... you have to make just an image sequence of the entire film. You then make an MXF file, which is just a video file of the film, and then you have to make an audio file, and you put it together in this little simple bit of software, and it just creates all the elements it needs, and we put it on put it on Dropbox and sent it all around the world to various festivals. It was shown on the National Film Theatre everywhere, and we did it for nothing. And we ended up having to make 4 or maybe even 5 DCPs because we had to change some of the credits. We had to add logos. We had to add a BBFC certification at the front. So we ended up having to make several DCPs, which could have cost £3,500 each. And we ended up costing us nothing.
And you just got a program called Open DCP,
yeah.
I've written this down in a book that I'll definitely lose. And never...
But people do that. I mean, because that's for a feature film, but people have, if you make a short film or even a trailer and you want to send it to a festival, chances are they'll want a DCP. You'll have to make one. And that's the way of doing it. And so it's a bit annoying that the industry was so sort of, you know, sort of short-sighted in not supporting someone who's a first-time director with just doing a deal,
yeah,
helping them out a bit more.
When we talked about adding music to it, mm-hmm. I spent some of our listeners' money
mm-hmm.
by buying us some loops for the film just to have a look at them,
right.
And they were awful. Yeah. So I wasted £15 of our listeners' money.
How much?
About £15.
What is that percentage of your overall budget?
Well, at the moment, I think it's £400, and I've spent on badges and stamps and this programme, £48.
Right, okay. I think you might need to get a production accountant. I think.
Yeah, well, I'm very transparent with the accountant. it's all on the website.
Good.
Where did you get your sound from, your music from? So I had the Soundstripe, I've heard people mention.
Yeah, there's loads. And it's amazing now, because when I worked at the agency, we just had this enormous corridor full of CDs. And if you wanted a track, the music is, for making trailers, music is the most important thing. And in movies, everyone knows the impact of fantastic music makes to a movie. It can save it. But now it's wonderful. You can go onto all these different websites like Audio Network, Premium Beats, any of the Universal, Extreme Music, and they you either buy it through MCPS or you just
what's MCPS?
It's it's the copyright mm-hmm. Thing. So you have to pay a license to use the. So if you're using it on online, it's cheaper. If you use it on a small budget film, it's cheaper.
Yeah.
If you're using it in a big movie, then you've got to pay full whack for it. And whereas things like Premium Beat and Audio Network are much, much cheaper to use. But the quality of it is really good, and it's very easy to search. So, music is thankfully it's really well organised thanks to the internet.
Premium Beat, Audio Network.
Premiumbeat.com, Audio Network. Yeah, I mean, these are all, they're all. And you can download samples so you can try it in your thing before you have to license it.
Yeah.
And they're all sort of cleared for YouTube. You know, when you put stuff on YouTube and then you get a copyright violation notice. And so they're usually all cleared for that. You don't get any grief.
And what about, did you have to do anything on the sound as well?
Yeah, I got a friend of mine to mix the film, which is hugely important. And sound is obviously the thing that always gets ignored. And that's going back to your earlier question about what can you do with that when you shoot your rushes is to respect sound.
Mm.
It's so crucial to get that. There's an old adage where you can just about get away with bad picture, but you can't get away with bad sound.
Mm.
And it's very, very true. So you'll always have to concentrate on a really good soundtrack. But this particular movie wasn't sort of an audio rich sort of landscape, so it wasn't like a sci-fi movie or a horror movie. But you just, if you look at any credits of any movie, you'll see the sound department is huge. And there's a good reason for that, because it is crucial.
It's time for a little break, just to have a relax. Let's get back to it. If I was going to edit my film, what would you say to me, someone at my level, what advice would you give to me?
Editing is like just telling a story, and it's like writing. So, once upon a time, this happens. Here are these people, and that's so you can almost, if you watch anything that's edited from, say, the beginning of.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Film or a beginning of a TV series, you can almost say those phrases over to yourself and you'll see them. You'll see Once Upon a Time, or and you'll see an establishing shot of somewhere, mm-hmm. magical kingdom or a space station or a cop, you know, office or whatever. And that, and it is just writing. There's punctuation, there's pauses, there's you know, there's dramatic sequences. There's, it's just that's what editing is like. It's very much like writing, and very much like and composing music as well.
It's got a lot faster with it. I mean, you said to me about the the amount of time in between each cut.
Yeah, there is this
rather than over the time as attention span has apparently.
I don't. It's really, that's very annoying, because when I worked in the ad agency, it was like everything had to be edited quickly, because that was always some sort of barometer of how good it was if it was edited quickly, which was just utter nonsense. It's complete rubbish. So I remember we talked about a film called To Be and To Have, the French documentary about the children's school.
Yeah.
And the beginning of that is incredible, because it just has these long shots of establishers of the French countryside. And there's one particular shot where you see a country lane, and then you hear a car, and the car drives past, and the car disappears, and it goes quiet again. And this whole sequence of just these long shots where nothing happens just takes you down, brings your energy down, and sets you in this rural landscape with this very small school who's run by... It was one teacher, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant, that film. It documented.
And I remember that distinctly. It just, the whole thing just brings you down and calms you down and says, right, this is where we are, this is the pace of life, and this is it. And that's a really good example of, like, because in any other film, they go, oh, cut that, just cut those quicker, you know, or, you know, have some jaunty music, because this guy's a bit quirky. So,
well, Lawrence of Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I always think of that scene of just Omar Sharif appearing over.
Yeah,
that's a really long. I mean, imagine cutting that.
Yeah.
It would be pointless.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a very first question, James.
Go ahead.
This is from, I'm just finding it on my, I'm accessing it on my phone now.
Good. Yeah, you got people are making movies on phones now, aren't they? And TV shows on phones. It's crazy times.
My stomach is rumbling during, this is from Rob Marlin.
Go ahead.
He writes, what makes a film feel like it's badly edited? Please answer with examples taken only from the first Jack Reacher movie.
God, I haven't seen that. It's weird, because people always ask me, oh, you must watch the editing of stuff when you're watching TV, and the answer to that is I do when I don't think it's very good, because then you just start asking yourself, why isn't this very good? Because if it's good, then you're in it, you're engaged, whereas if it's not very good, you're sort of detached from it, and I think that happens a lot at the cinema, where something will happen and that's it, I'm out of this movie. Yeah. I'm just going to watch it. I'm going to sort of analyse it.
Yeah.
And I think, and that happened to me several times with the new Star Wars film, where I was just, I'm in. No, I'm out. No, I'm way out. I'm
out. Because of the story, or because of the...
Just because of mainly the mechanics of the story and the decisions they were making and what I was being sort of presented with. I thought, well, hang on, what? Eh? No? No.
You've heard the story about all those, what are those weird fluffy bird creatures on the island, what are they called?
Porgs.
They were there to replace the puffins.
Yeah, they couldn't upset the puffins, so they had to put the porgs in. But that's the least of their problems. But yeah, so just that, just like, if you're engaged in the characters and the plot, then you're it's washing over you. You're not watching. You're not sort of looking at it from a technical point of view. So you've got to just engage your audience, and if your audience is engaged, they won't notice it. Again, you're like, whenever you do, whenever you make an edit, you know, people will sit down and look at the rushes and go, well, where do we start? And it's just, again, it's like writing a story, and it's like, it's all about just imparting nothing but crucial information. You're showing your audience something, a person, a location, you're making them hear something. Everything has got to be there for a reason. What it means might be down the line. It might be, they might just be later on when they fully realize the impact. But everything you're showing them and everything they're hearing, there has to be some kind of a reason for it. And if there's no reason for a shot or no reason for a sound, it has no business being in the edit. And that's ultimately what editing is about. It's like almost like writing gags. Mm. You're getting rid of any excess rubbish. So it's just, again, with writing, you're getting rid of unnecessary words. You're editing like a book editor would.
It's just you almost want the editor to be invisible.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's their job.
Mm, precisely. Yeah, but you do get, you know, flashy, you know, stuff, stylized stuff that just doesn't belong in the film. And some people think that's, you know, what people want to see. Some people have theories about attention spans, as you said, and they think, oh, people want to see this. But people are always giving, think the audience are less intelligent than they actually are, and they always seem to think they want to.
It's executives who insist that the audiences are stupid. I think that's the thing.
Mm.
But I think badly edited things. I just hate car chases where there are shots which are terrible shots just to try and quick cut car chases, like Die Hard.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, I don't know if it's Die Hard 4, the one after that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a car chase, and half the shots weren't even anything visually.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a car, a wheel, yeah. and it was just.
I think that's a really good example, because I think where you really see bad editing the most, I think, is when I've noticed is action scenes. Where they just shot the crap out of something and they've just cobbled it together, and it's as long as it's cut fast. I think there was a thing on the internet where they showed a thing of Liam Neeson in one of the Taken movies jumping over a fence.
Yeah.
And I think it was something like 19 separate shots.
Oh, really?
It's like... But, you know, but I think really good action directors like... what's his name? Campbell, the guy that did... He did GoldenEye and... he did Casino Royale, and he did a movie called the is it The Foreigner? The Jackie Chan?
I've seen The Foreigner.
He does action really well, yeah. And it's just like, I think some people just write, oh, then there's a car chase. But I think action scenes have to be as well prepared and as well written as any dialogue scene or any other sequence.
Yeah, the latest Bourne Identity, whatever, that film where it was just shots of chases that didn't actually make sense.
The most recent one.
It was really awful.
Yeah, I heard about it. It's bad.
It's odd watching a bad car chase, like in the Die Hard films. And then I think after that, I watched Bullet, which is the Steve McQueen film, with a famous car chase, where the pace is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
But you follow it. It's just it's almost like a Duel. The car chase in that way, it's quite slow and sinister. It doesn't have to be quick cuts of shots that don't
I think the mistake people make is that when it's an action sequence, that the story and character and emotion stop, and then it carries on when the action sequence finishes. It's not. It should be a part of it. You should be learning stuff about characters. The plot should be moving forward with the action, and that's what I think is the mark of a really good action scene, is when all that stuff is happening as well. You're engaged with it, as opposed to, right, here's a car chase, because it's been 8 minutes since we had an action scene. So here we go.
I don't think I can afford a car chase. Bike chase.
You could do bike chase or rollerblade chase or
bike chases. Foot chase. Always better than car chases.
Yeah, running's good. Or horses. Horse?
I can't really run that fast.
No. What's available to you on the Isle of Wight?
Well, I could do the fast walking chase. You know, when they're doing the Olympics, when they do the.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Uh huh.
Maybe no chasing.
Mm hmm. You could be like the scene in The Wolf of Wall Street where they're all drugged, and they're just crawling.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That was brilliant. I was in hysterics watching that.
I watched
trying to run when you've been drugged.
These are all ideas. These are all good ideas. I'm trying to think what else I should.
Be like an opera, because like in an opera they sing and dance and do stuff, and then they go off stage, and then there's a battle in the intermission. They come back and they talk about what happened in the battle or what happened in the action scene. So you don't get the action scene in operas, you just get the aftermath, either the build-up and the aftermath.
I've never been to an opera.
You?
Is that why they're about 4 hours long then? Just talking about...
Okay. They go, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then it's like an intermission. Go, oh my God, I can't believe we lost. Everyone's dead. Oh, so you don't see the action in the middle.
It's put me off that whole...
You can do running. You can run. Running is good.
I can't run. Last time I ran in something... the director said to me, "All right, you don't need to do the stupid run." And I said, "Well, that's my." And I said, "What do you mean?" And it was my normal run.
Right. Okay.
It's really. I don't know why. I've seen myself run and thought, "Are you doing it on that badly on purpose?" But it's natural.
You could do a chase if you're on the Isle of Wight. You could maybe do a chase where it's two elderly people on mobility scooters chasing each other.
Yeah.
And there's just one's got one slightly better charge and they're creeping up. And
well, let's see what we do in the budget.
I'd pay to see that.
Currently, it's very, very low.
I suppose the difference between a chase scene on the Isle of Wight is you run out of land. You're just doing laps.
Water scene, beach scene.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I think everyone would like to see me running slowly, slow-mo in my pants in the beach.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe a rowing boat chase or a pedalo chase.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how we go budget-wise.
Okay.
I don't think of any other questions. I think that's about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's tricky because, you know, my daughter makes, you know, Beanie Boom movies and she's editing away.
Oh, does she?
She's picking it up very quickly.
What is this Beanie Boom?
They're like these little soft, fluffy toys. She makes My Little Pony movies and puts
on her phone?
On her iPad. She shoots them on her iPad, edits them on her iPad, presses a button, it goes up to her YouTube channel.
Wow.
Done on her iPad. All
who
finished.
Does this, Emily?
Yeah. So it's, I mean, when I was at film school, which was in the 90s, it would be 10 grand to make a 10-minute short film, which then no one would watch because there's no one, nowhere to show it. You could maybe show it at a film festival. You could maybe show it. Highly unlikely it would get shown on television, even more unlikely it would get shown at a cinema. And now it's almost too easy to make a film because it's like everything's there and you can make yourself look really stupid really quickly by making a bad film, as opposed to if you wanted to make a film back in the film days, you'd have to still spend a huge amount of money just to get something up on the screen.
It's easy. Basically, James is saying it's easy.
It's not writing a story, a really good story, a pencil and paper. It still remains. The technology means nothing. It's all about story and character. If you don't have that, it doesn't matter what you shoot it on, 4K, 1K, 8K, 12K. It's a waste of time.
I agree. Well, on that note, thank you very much, James.
Thank you.
Are there any things that people could follow you on?
I'm on Twitter, JJ Branch, letter J, J, two J's and Branch. I have another Twitter account, which is for my Final Cut Pro 10, which is it James Branch FCPX or J Branch FCPX?
Oh, I didn't know this one.
It's very geeky, very dull. It's
J Branch, it's a special Edison editing.
Yeah, it's just one I talk about Final Cut Pro 10 stuff because everything I put on my other Twitter feed just goes onto Facebook and it's like all my Facebook friends are like, what are you talking about?
This is the perfect Twitter account for editing geeks.
Very nerdy, lots of very nerdy editing articles and YouTube videos and stuff.
James Branch, FCPX.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, thank you very much for your time, James. It's
my pleasure.
Kind.
Thanks for coming over. Yeah, good to see you.
Nice to see you. And stay hygienic is the sign off for this one. Stay hygienic.
Keep your noses clean.
Well, I've known James Branch for about the last 15 years, and I have to say, he's one of the nicest people in the entire world. If you want to follow him, as he said, his Twitter account about editing is at James Branch FCPX, and he recommended Gordon Willis. If you look up him, who's a cinematographer on YouTube, there's a couple of films there, and he also recommended a YouTube channel called This Guy Edits, all about editing, and one called Cinema Tyler. So please have a look into those channels if you're interested. Also, if you would like to donate towards the making of the film, just go to marriottlarwood.com/Marriott Makes a Movie or click on the link there. And I'm doing a sort of relaxed blog about my making of a film. And you can donate there. And if you donate £5 or more, I'll send you a letter and a rubbish badge. And any help is much appreciated. I hope you enjoyed it. And yeah, as I said before, stay hygienic. Bye.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.